It is good to be with you tonight. I'm going to ask if maybe I could have the house lights up a little bit so I can see your beautiful faces. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful group. Look at the person beside you and see how beautiful they are tonight. Look at the person beside you and tell them they are beautiful tonight. Okay. How many of you now need to repent? We are really honored to be with you tonight. And I've come with expectancy. I really approach every service I do. I am unable to go through the motions of having a church service. It's just not in me to do that. I always expect the Lord to show up. Otherwise, let's go home. I'll try that again. I always expect God to show up. Or let's just go home. All right. I'm a nice guy, but I'm not worth giving up a Friday night for. Do we have any people here gifted in deliverance? I need someone that needs a little ministry. The fivefold ministry. Because I know that there are a lot of things that you could be doing, and you are here because you have a hunger for the Lord. And sometimes the Lord speaks to me in pictures, and right before I got up to go on the stage, I saw like you, not flames of fire over you, but I saw you as flames of fire. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but I think you need to just go out and set people on fire that you come in contact with, because you are flames of fire. I know we've already prayed, but I want to pray again. And let's just ask the Lord to speak to our hearts tonight and do in us what He wants to do. It doesn't matter what he does, as long as He's the one that's doing it. So just if you would put your hand over your heart, and I'm going to do something for about 60 seconds that at times makes church people very uncomfortable, and that is silence. Sometimes it's hard for us to be silent. But I'm going to, for about 60 seconds, just in your heart, I want you to ask the Lord to touch your life tonight. Now, just ask Him to use you in a specific area. Whatever He is speaking to your heart, go ahead and ask Him. Thank you, Lord. Father, tonight I bless you. And I am so thankful that you have allowed us to come to Hong Kong and share tonight with a beautiful, beautiful group of what are mostly young people, young adults. I I am so thankful that you have trusted us with this group tonight. And I ask that, Lord, you will touch them. Not because of us, not because of who we are, but you would touch them in a way that forever changes the destiny and the direction of their lives. I pray. Lord, I sense your presence. Lord, right now, I am just very aware of your nearness. And it's times like this, Lord, that I just want to lay in your presence, Lord, just to be in your glory. And so I thank you, Lord. I thank you for every person that's here. Touch them in a way that will forever change their lives. Lord, we want your presence. Without your presence, we don't want to go. We must have your presence, Lord. And so, Lord, tonight I give you praise. I give you praise, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And everybody together said, Amen. When I speak, without a better way of describing it, there are different hats that I will wear. For example, there are times that I'll wear the pastor teacher hat, and it's more of many speakers do this, but it's more of a giving of information, and that's great. I do that. I actually love to do that. I love using PowerPoint. I love giving out outlines, and I love just teaching through the Word. Then there are times that you put on the evangelist hat. And you do what we did like the last, week, where we're in the mall and we're doing outdoor crusades and we're preaching an evangelistic message to bring people to a position where they accept Jesus. And I like doing that. We had a great time this week. And then without really a better way of describing it, there is an apostolic hat that you put on. And that's sort of the hat that I'm going to wear tonight, which is to call you into whatever the Lord has for you and then to send you out. It's an invitation to be what He has for you to be. Now, I have a message, a teaching that I do, and I'm not going to do it tonight, but it's a message on stepping into your destiny. It's actually one of my favorite teachings to do, and I thought about doing it, but I'm not. What I do want to do tonight is talk to you about reaching your generation for Jesus. Now, let me give you a scripture. Turn in your Bibles, and because of a lack of time tonight, I won't take a lot of time reading scriptures to you. But this is in Luke chapter 10, verse 2. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." There has been a prophetic word that's been coming actually over a few years. And it's a prophetic word that I'd heard, but it didn't really resonate with me until recently. And that is that it is now time for there to be a billion, with a B, soul harvest. See, even Jesus said the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is not the problem, it's the workers. And so tonight I'm going to issue a call for you to be a worker that goes into the fields. Now, it doesn't have to be overseas. It could be in your own neighborhood. How many would like for Jesus to touch you in power and send you out to reach your neighborhood, your community, your city? Okay, 10%. Whew. I'm going to work tonight. I can already see that. I know that sounds a little bit ridiculous, but It is really resonating with me. And if we're going to have that kind of harvest, we're going to need fathers, we're going to need mothers, we're going to need churches like this that help train these people up and take care of them. Think about it, a billion soul harvest. If you are familiar with Azusa Street, William Seymour, the man who was responsible for that being, that taking place, the revival that took place in 1901, 1902, the Lord spoke to him and said that in about 100 years, there was going to be another revival. Well, we're a little bit over 100 years. I am looking forward to another great revival coming forth and breaking out. Bob Jones, and many of you may not know who Bob Jones is. He was a prophetic person in America, and he recently passed away. He was so prophetic, he was weird. He would say things, you'd have to have an interpreter, because it didn't make sense to you, or at least it didn't to me. But the Lord showed him that there was going to be a billion soul harvest. Stacy Campbell. Anybody know Wesley and Stacy Campbell? Wave at me. Okay. She's also had a prophetic word that there's going to be a billion soul harvest. I think it would be great for it to start here in Hong Kong. Cal Pierce, who is the founder of the John G. Lake Healing Rooms. I was doing a conference with him. It's been over a year ago. And we were at Seattle. And he got up and he made a statement. And he said, the Lord has spoken to me that there's going to be another great awakening. And then he said, why not here and why not now? Why not here and why not now? Why not have another great awakening, another great revival? Why not here and why not now? Why don't you say that with me? Why not here and why not now? Do you ever get tired of people talking about the coming revival? I'm one that talks about it coming. I've talked about it coming till I'm sick of talking about it coming. I want to talk about it being here now. I look forward to the day. Forgive me, my voice is a little bit raspy from speaking so much lately. But I'm looking forward to the day, instead of standing and saying, the revival is coming, I would like to stand and say, hey guys, revival is here. Why not here? And why not now? Say it with me again. Why not here and why not now? I want to read a couple of verses to you. No need for you to turn to them. But because the message I'm going to teach tonight, and only a short part of it, because we would like to pray for the sick or pray for anybody who has physical needs at the end. But I want to talk about being hungry for a move of God. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As the deer pants for streams of water, so, everybody say so. So my soul pants for you, O God. We all have the mental image of the deer coming out of the mountains. We've seen artwork. Comes down to the stream. It's a thirsty deer to drink of the water. Now, this is what the psalmist is saying. As that thirsty deer pants for streams of water, so, or in like manner, my soul should thirst after you, God. That's what the psalmist is saying. It's actually a very strong way of structuring the sentence. As that deer is thirsty, so my soul should be thirsty for you. A number of years ago, when renewal hit my church in Florida, the Lord spoke to me and said, I will always satisfy the hungry and the thirsty. If we are thirsty for Him tonight, He will meet us at the point of our thirst. If we are hungry for Him tonight, He will meet us at the place of our hunger. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul, the psalmist says, thirst for God, for the living God. And then the last phrase of that verse. When can I go and meet with God? Now, I studied that verse. The translators phrased it, when can I go and meet with God? But it literally says, when can I go to see the face of God? It actually has it puts it in a stronger language than we understand it when we read our Bibles. How many of you would like to see God face to face? Well, some of us are a little nervous about it. I understand. Because if we see God literally face to face in these present bodies, we would end up being crispy critters. Our fleshly bodies can't handle being in His presence. But as much as I can be in His presence, I want to see His face. I am a presence person. Now, not that I give presents or get presents. Oh, well, I will accept presents. But I'm talking a presence person. I love being in the presence of the Lord. I'm a presence person. I hunger for His presence. And so tonight I want to talk about hungry for Him. Hungry for a fresh move. Now, originally, when I put this teaching together, I was going to call it Hungry for Revival. And that's in essence what I'm talking about. But when I mention the word revival, that will mean different things to different people. So I sort of summarize it by saying hungry for a fresh move of God. Now, I didn't take the time to tell you who we are because of time. But our ministry was birthed out of revival. Some of you are going to be too young, but some of you may know about the Toronto outpouring that took place in Toronto. Our founder, our apostolic leader, was the man that God used to birth that revival, Randy Clark. He went as a pastor up to the Arnott's Church and really went up thinking he's going to be there two or three nights and it's all going to be over. Well, that revival went on. I think it was 12 years, six nights a week, year after year. It's the longest running modern revival, in fact, in recent memory, of night after night after night after night. Now, there's a generation that's coming up, and I hear this from time to time. Well, it's great. You guys had the Pensacola revival. You had the Toronto revival. We want our own revival. How many of you would like to see revival in your generation, in your time? Okay, 15%. I won't quit until I get 100%. It may be midnight. So you better jump on board in a hurry here. How many of you are hungry for God tonight? How hungry are you? All right, let's try it one more time. I don't know that I have a voice tonight to go to midnight. So we'll go to 11:59. How many are hungry for Him tonight? How hungry are you for Him? In fact, let me ask you, have you ever really been hungry? I mean, I have physically hungry. You know, I fasted before. I fasted 21 days. And in fact, fasting is not a good word. I always call it slowing. Because it doesn't go fast for me when I'm fasting. But I mean, I've felt hunger pains. But I have seen people who are literally starving. Back when the famine was in Mozambique and Malawi. And we good friends with Heidi and Roland Baker, and we agreed to partner with them to do an outdoor crusade in Malawi and then also to do feeding there. Another ministry was going to do the outdoor crusade. It would be somebody you're familiar with. But Heidi's ministry agreed to do the feeding. Now, in a moment of temporary insanity, I agreed to oversee the putting together of the food for this event to give away to the needy. And so we ended up doing 30,000 bags of corn and beans that we were going to give to the needy. They were so in such a dire straits in that point in their life that Roland told me that they had church members that were diving to the bottom of crocodile-infested rivers in order to get this little bulb in the bottom of the river. It didn't have any nutritional value, but they would mash it up and feed it to their children so their bellies would be full. And said they were having church members killed by crocodiles as they dove into the river. There was nothing else for them to eat. Said they had family members that were eating the bark off of trees. We, during that period of time, went to a refugee camp. And so we were taking food to them because they didn't have any food. And we backed up and had these big stacks. They were bags about like this. And so we were giving away food. We'd preached and actually had that day 3 deaf people. I'm going to tell you the story anyway. But we were there, all the chiefs were sitting around, all the people, the refugee people, they're sitting there patient. Just get this over with so we can get our food. That was basically the attitude. It was like, we're being made to come church, come here you guys. And there's quite a number there, and they're sitting. And we were at this flatbed truck, we were up there. And the evangelist looked at me and said, come on. And said, watch this. And he walked down and he said, bring me all of your deaf. I'm thinking, that's pretty risky now. He said, bring your deaf. And he said, Tom, I want you to check them once we pray for them. And so we went down the line. He prayed for the first one. And I verified they could hear. Went to the second one. And I was fairly skeptical. And he went to the second person. Put his fingers in their ear, prayed for them. Their ears was open. Now the people are on their feet and crowding around to see what God is doing. So we go to the third one, puts his finger in their ear. All three, it was 3 out of 4, got their hearing back. But now the people are very interested in the message. He preaches, gives a salvation call, and a number of them accept Jesus. Now we're doing the feeding. We're giving out these bags of food. The pastors were supposed to have this organized so that we had enough food for the number of people. We're getting down to the last few bags of beans and maize. And there's a lot of people still standing around. And in the back of the group, there's this group of guys. They start bouncing up and down, dancing and chanting. And it wasn't a happy dance. I don't know what to call it, and I don't mean it as an offense to their culture, but I call it a Zulu dance. You've seen on National Geographic, they're bouncing up and down, these young guys, because they're beginning to get agitated. They know how many people are left, and there's not enough food. And it begins to get very tense, gets down to the last 3 or 4 four or five bags of maize or corn, and I say, back the truck up. We throw in the back of the truck what's left and get over to the bus, load the team up to leave. As we do, they set the fields on fire. And they start throwing rocks at the bus. One of the rocks breaks the window out of the bus, ends up with one of our girls getting cut, had to take her to get stitches. And so the team members are asking. It was a group from my church, from Heidi's ministry, and then this other ministry. And so they're saying, all we were trying to do was help them. And we had to explain, they're starving. They just want food. You see, you can see how desperate they were for natural food. That's the same passion and desire we should have for him. Now, I ask you a question. How many of you are hungry tonight? Ooh, I'm down to 12% now. I lost 3%. How hungry are we? What are we willing to do to get more of Him? To what lengths are we willing to do? Not that we have to earn His presence, but what lengths are we willing to go to have more of His presence? How hungry are we for a fresh move of God in our own lives, in our church, in our cities, in our nation? You remember the story of Zacchaeus? Jesus comes into town. Supposedly, there was a synagogue there. He comes into town, and there is this rich man who just wants to get a glimpse of Jesus. So he climbs a tree. Now, in those days, men didn't wear pants. You see where I'm going with this? Some of you are turning red already. I mean, think about it. Here is a man, a wealthy man, that history would tell us would not do anything like that to put himself in an embarrassing, compromising position. And I don't know about you, but I ask questions when I read stories that I don't understand. And I kept thinking, why would Zacchaeus climb a tree? And then why would Jesus decide to go home with him? He should have gone to the religious leaders. But he walks into town. And he looks up to Zacchaeus, and the scripture says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I must needs go home with you tonight." He picked him to go home with. Why? I think when Jesus looked at that man, he saw a man that was willing to do anything just to get a glimpse of him. And he said, "You know, that's the kind of guy I want to hang out with." When Jesus looks at us, does he see a desire that would cause him to say, "You know, wow, they'll do anything to have my presence. There's someone I want to hang out with." How many of you are hungry for more of him tonight? Give me an amen. Ooh, I'm 50% now. What are we willing to do to get more of him? What if Jesus appeared tonight? All right, service is over at 11:59. You go home and you get in bed, and about 1:30 tomorrow morning, you look at the end of your foot of your bed, and there stands a man. It looks like Jesus. And this man, who is Jesus, he stands at you and says, "I'm going to bring a great revival to Hong Kong." How many of you would be excited? Maybe it's going to be midnight. He looks at you and says, "I'm going to bring a great revival to Hong Kong." Would you be excited about that? What if he said, he's standing there, he looks at you and said, "I'm going to bring a great revival to Hong Kong, and I'm going to use you to help bring it about." How many of you would be excited then? Whew. What if he looked at you and said, "I'm going to bring a great revival. I'm going to use you to bring it about. And by the way, your family's going to misunderstand you, disown you, and they're going to kick you out of your church because they don't understand what's going on in your life." How many of you would still be excited? Okay, seven of you. Okay, I'm talking to you seven for the rest of the message now. You know, that's what happens with revival often. Now, it won't happen here, because this church would be hungry for revival. But that happens quite often. You move into a situation, God chooses to use you, and your family doesn't understand you, your church doesn't understand you, and you feel on the outside. See, I'm willing at this point in my life to do anything to see a fresh move of God. Now, I don't have enough time to run through all of these, but when I put this together, I was in Brazil, and I was about to speak to a group of pastors. And I was just sitting saying, Lord, what do you want me to share with them? I was a little weary, just not really knowing what to share with them. And it was a pastor's meeting. And the Lord spoke to me and just gave me these list of things about being hungry for God. And they aren't in any sort of order, but let me just run through one or two of them. Number one, if you want to see a fresh move of God, make having His presence a priority. Now, as I mentioned to you earlier, I am a presence person. I want His presence. That was birthed in my life very early. When I was a very young boy, maybe 6 years old, 7 years old, I was with my grandfather at what we called a camp meeting service, a large group of people there. It was a night service. And I'm sitting with my grandfather, and at the end of the service, they would have this time of afterglow of worship, and there would be people in the altar, and they had these big tall altars. They don't have them anymore, but these tall altars, and people are there praying and seeking God and trying to pray through. And you know, you have people beating each other on the back, let go, one saying hold on, the other one saying let go, and there was this whole mixture of things going on. Well, I'm there as a little boy standing beside my grandfather. He doesn't say a word to me. All he does is he turns to me, puts his hands under my arms, picks me up, and stands me on the altar. So here I am now. I'm standing there a little uneasy, looking out at all these people. And he said, son, tell me what you see. At first, I didn't know what he meant, but there I am standing. And as I look over to my left, I see this bluish, greenish, grayish cloud. There's this cloud that I don't see in the spirit. I see it with my natural eye. I mean, we didn't have language back then for seeing in the spirit. I saw it as well as I see you sitting there. I saw this cloud. And then I watched this cloud move from my left to my right. And as it moved down the line, as it got to people standing there, they just began to fall on the floor, just dropping like flies. I mean, just the cloud moved and they were falling. So I described to my grandfather, I said, well, granddaddy, here's what I see. And he said something to me I will never forget. He said, son, I wanted you to see what the glory of the Lord looks like, so you will never forget it. I have never forgotten what that cloud looks like. And I look forward to the day, and I have a promise that I'm once again going to see the glory cloud, not in the spirit, but see it in the natural. And I think it would be great for it to show up tonight. It would make my night if it just showed up. Then nobody would want to go home at 11:59. I mean, I actually have this vision where we're standing. And by the way, it is a long, narrow building. Now, I don't know why, but that's what I see. It's a narrow building, something like this. And as people are just standing, worshiping, the cloud comes in from the back. And as it rolls in, it hits people. And they start like dominoes falling forward all the way down from the back to the front. It's like somebody took and hit them with a baseball bat. I would, if it's as long as it's the Lord, I don't mind being hit with a baseball bat. And I keep longing, Lord, I want to see that. If you and I want to have a fresh move of God, then having His presence, that needs to be the priority of our life. We can't do it outside of His presence. I can't live with knowing that there is more of Him and not having it. I mean, some people might say, well, you got it all when you got saved. I have a little bit of trouble with that. Just think with me. Just follow this for a moment. You have someone who spoke into existence all of the galaxies, all of the stars, all of the moons, all of the sun. You have someone who spoke all of that into existence. And we say, well, we got all of God we can get. I have a little bit of trouble with that, to be honest with you. See, I think we can stand before the throne and the Father blink His eye, and we can spend 1,000,000 years worshiping who He is. and then he can blink the other eye. We can spend another million years. I think we can spend all of eternity and not discover all that our Heavenly Father is. I believe there's so much more that we can experience. Not only there, because the kingdom has come, we can experience it here. I want more of him. I've seen a lot. I really have. I've seen a lot in the last 15 years, last 18 years now. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. And I get to see a lot and experience a lot, and I get to travel and go all sorts of places. I travel about 260, 70 days a year. That's a lot of travel. So I get to see a lot. But I'm still hungry for more. If you and I want to see a fresh move, we need to make having his presence a priority. And that's not only in the public setting, but the Lord has been speaking to me about in the private setting. I mean, I'm revisiting some things that I used to do in my 30s because I want him now. I want his presence. So number one, out of the 15 points I'm going to make, make having his presence a priority. And number two, and this may be what I have to wind up with, is live with an attitude of expectancy. When you come to service, whatever service it is, every time you walk through those doors, you should come, sit on the edge of your seat and say, today is going to be the day. This is when God's going to show up and revival is going to break out. It's today. You know, instead of sitting there saying, well, Pastor, touch me if you can. You know, give it your best shot. I'm here. I made the effort. You know, I could have slept in. Give it your best shot. No, come in. And when he stands to make the announcement, say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When he takes the offering, oh, thank you, Jesus, that we live with an attitude of expectancy. And the Lord spoke to me right after I went to work for Global Awakening. I left my church at the end of 2005. And in 2006, I was at one of our healing schools. And I was working in the event and was a little bit weary and came and sat by one of our staff members. I just sat down. I wasn't thinking about God speaking to me. I wasn't expecting the Lord to speak to me. But when I sat down, I heard the word of the Lord inside of me. Was an outward audible voice. It was an inward voice. But I heard him say, prepare yourself to catch the next wave. And I looked over at Karen and I said, Karen, the Lord just spoke to me. She said, well, what did he say? I said, he said to prepare myself to catch the next wave. Now, I got excited because, number one, it meant there was going to be another wave. And number two, that I was going to get to be a part of that next wave. I don't surf. Pat does. Pat's a surfer. I know he doesn't look like it. Pat, stand so they can see you. Yeah, I want you to stand so they can see who you are. Sam. He doesn't look like a surfer. That'll teach you to say things when I'm speaking. But Pat's a surfer. But I've looked up surfing. And it talked about, you know, the places where you can go and catch the best waves and, you know, how you're supposed to try to balance. Because I'm thinking, I want to know how to catch that next wave. I want to be ready. The Lord said, be ready to catch that next wave. And it was, I don't know, maybe a year and a half after that, I was riding with Bill Johnson. And so I began to tell him about what I heard the Lord say. And then he made a comment, if you know who Bill Johnson is, out of Bethel. Jesus culture, and he made a comment that it again resonated with me, and it was something to the effect about not only catching the next wave, but helping create the next wave. And I said, oh yes, Lord, I not only want to catch the next wave, I want to be one that you use to help create that next wave. Rather than sitting around, sitting back, saying, okay, I'm ready, just bring the wave, I want to help create that wave. And so I began to think, how do you create a wave? Where I was raised, when I was a little boy, we had this place down on the lake, and we had a dock out into the river. And so we would go out, me and my two brothers, and we would throw rocks into the water, and there would be these waves that went out. So I started saying, Lord, I want to be the rock that you throw into the river to help create the next wave. See, I think the Lord is looking for volunteers, people who will say, yes, Lord, use me, send me, I'm available, pick me up and throw me into the river and help create that next wave. Do we have any wave creators tonight? People who will say, yes, Lord, use me. Okay, we're going to go another point then. The third one is allow God to touch you first. 2 Chronicles 6:19. For the eyes of the Lord reigns throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. For the eyes of the Lord reigns throughout the earth. The Lord gave me a mental picture years ago when I first started going with Randy on a trip. And I, just in this mental picture, and I know it was something the Lord was showing me, but I saw the Lord step up, walk to the edge of heaven and look, and His eyes were looking over the earth. And He was looking for people who would say, all they had to do was say, Lord, choose me. I volunteer. Use me. Pick me, Lord. And I had this picture. We used to play dodgeball and volleyball and other things in school. And, you know, you sort of at the edge of the crowd, pick me, I want to play. And it was like I saw people over the earth raising their hands saying, Lord, pick me, use me, I volunteer. I'm asking tonight, do we have any people who will say to heaven, say to the Father, whose eyes is looking over the earth and say, Lord, use me, pick me, I volunteer. Do we have any volunteers tonight? See, I believe with all of my heart that He's looking for people. All they have to do is say yes. You don't have to be gifted. You don't have to be what you think is tremendously anointed. He's looking for people who will say yes. I know beyond any shadow of a doubt there is coming a wave. And I think it's at our doorsteps right now. I think it's not just a wave. I think it's a tsunami. We were in Toronto for the 20th anniversary a year ago. And speaker after speaker got up and they talked about the wave. They talked about the wave. And my wife elbowed me and she said, listen, do you hear what they're saying? She said, you've been saying it since 2005. And they're saying about the revival, about the wave. I know there's a wave coming, and I'm going to get to be a part of it. There are times you get on a plane, and because I do a lot of flying. In fact, my first leg of this trip, we lost an engine, which is not the most exciting thing or the way to start a trip. But there are times you've got on a plane, and there's a lot of turbulence, and, you know, wow, what's going on here? And all of a sudden, there'll be a peace that will come. Because I know I'm not going to die yet. I haven't seen the next wave. So people on the plane, you're safe because I'm on the plane. The revival hasn't come. I haven't seen the next wave. So until the next wave comes, you're safe. It wouldn't hurt my feelings if it started right here in Hong Kong. I believe it's going to break out in a lot of different places and a lot of different countries around the world for there to be a billion soul harvest. And this is the first time in history that there can be a billion people saved, give their hearts to the Lord. It's the first time. The population is at a point now there could be a billion soul harvest. And I believe before the end of time, there will be a billion souls come in. I want to be a part of that. It doesn't matter to me what it looks like. It doesn't matter where it starts. See, it's very easy for us to look at the last move of God and say, it needs to look like that. I loved Toronto. I loved Pensacola. I loved, because my life was so radically changed. I was touched in Brownsville Revival in Pensacola. I was touched mightily in Toronto. But you know, if it never looks like that, it doesn't matter to me. I just want to be a part of it. He may actually touch people He actually may touch people that we have trouble believing that he's touching. I started to name some groups, and I don't want to go down that path. It actually may come. He actually may use people that we have a little bit of a different theological viewpoint. I think the Lord enjoys messing with our theology. Anybody else think that? See, we have God in a box. We may not think we do, but we have God in a box. God has to do it just like this, because that's how he touched me, so he has to do it just like this. And we have God in a box. God is not in our box tonight. He may open the lid and blow in our box, but he's not in our box. See, we think God is here when really God is over here. So we decide, okay, we come over here where he is, and then we put him in a box again. We build a box around it. And so he has to keep moving because he's not in our box. He's not going to do it the way we think he ought to do it. And I'm going to close with this. Maybe someone wants to come play. Music helps me stop. Helps me come into it for a landing. You know you're in trouble when the person comes up and plays without your asking. I mean, it's just like, okay, that's enough. Just hush, you know. But I actually had trouble with the revival out of Toronto, with Brownsville. I was pastoring a church in Florida. And I had some people who went to Brownsville, Pensacola, which came out of Toronto. And they would come into my service and say, Pastor, you've got to go to Brownsville. God is there. You need to go to Brownsville. You know, I had that 4, 5, 6, 8 times. I forget now. And then there was one Wednesday night. This young man came in. And he didn't, half the time, he didn't live for the Lord. And he comes and says, Pastor, you have got to go to Brownsville. God is there. Now, I wasn't hearing him. Here's what I was hearing him say. Pastor, what you have is not good enough. You need to go there and get something more. See how I was interpreting what he was saying. What you have is not good enough. So when he told me that, I gave him a good theological answer. That's what we do sometimes when God shows up. We start giving good theological answers. And like I said, the Lord enjoys messing with our theology. So I said to him, God is omnipresent. God is just as much here as he is there. And if God wants to touch me, he can touch me here. I was resistant to the idea of going somewhere to get something else, because I thought what I had was good enough. I went home that night, and when I got home, I told my wife, Brenda, I said, Sweetheart, I'm going to go to Brownsville so these people will leave me alone. I didn't really go predisposed to be touched by the Holy Spirit. I went so I could come back and say, I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, now leave me alone. That's really the reason I went. That's no exaggeration. I told my wife, I'm going so they'll leave me alone. Next time they would come and say to me, you need to go to Brownsville for the revival, Pensacola, I could say, I've been there. It's great. So I go over on Thursday. I get up Thursday morning. It was about an 8.5-hour drive where I lived in Florida. I was pastoring then. And I drove to Florida. I drove to Brownsville. Got there the first night. I thought, I don't want to go to church. So I went and got in my hotel and watched TV. See, I wasn't really hungry. They told me, said, now, if you want to get into the main sanctuary, you've got to get in line early. Get in line? Get in line for church? Nobody's in line to get in my church. But I thought, I'm going to do the whole thing. Because I'd also had some friends that had been and touched by the Spirit, Tom and Susan White and a couple of others. But I thought, well, I'm going to do the whole thing so I can say I've done it. And so I got up early Friday morning and I drove onto the parking lot. And I pulled under this big oak tree that was there, a big, huge tree. I pulled in, and when I put my SUV in park, it's as if the Lord got in the car with me. I don't know how to describe it. I wasn't predisposed. I wasn't hungry. I wasn't desperate. I've been encouraging you to be hungry, but if you're not, you're still not safe tonight. I just put my SUV in park, and I think I switched it off, and Jesus got in my car with me, and He took my heart, and He began to squeeze my heart, and I began to cry, and I began to weep. I was just boo-hooing like a little kid. And this goes on probably 45 minutes. I'm just in my vehicle. I think the vehicle must have been shaking because I was shaking like that. See, I didn't know everybody else was just as messed up as me. I hadn't been to revival. Finally, I think, okay, I got to get myself together and at least look like a pastor. So I get all straightened up and I go get in line and I find out they're all a mess too. I could have gone home after, I call it my parking lot experience. I could have gone home. I don't remember what Michael Brown taught on that day. I don't remember what Steve Hill preached for on that night. I didn't have one person lay hands on me. But I went home and I stood up on Sunday morning and I said, we are going after God. And I taught that Sunday on the 10 pillars of revival. I made a decision. I was going after God. Now, did everybody get on board? No. There were some who were resistant to having renewal, revival in the church. I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 months after that, my leadership, my elders, called them advisory group, they invited me to go out to eat. When your board invites you to go out to eat, there may be some issues. And I knew there was going to come a point. So we go out, we're sitting at Denny's restaurant. If you've ever been to America, we're sitting at Denny's. And they look at me, some of them, and say, Pastor, you weren't like this when we hired you. I didn't have to think twice about it. I said, you're right. I wasn't like this when you hired me. But I'm not going back. Because I've been there. I've been dry. I've been where there was no hunger. I've been where I knew how to start a service at 10:45 and end at 12. I've been in the service when it's so boring and I'm the pastor. I've been there. I said, I'm not going back. And I said, this is where we're going. And I hope you can get on board to go there. Now, half of them didn't make it. Half of them left. Still friends with them. I married at least one of them. I did there before they left. But, they couldn't go. See, my heart now is different than what it was then. If I hear that revival is breaking out somewhere in the world and that it is that next wave, then I'm going to go there. I want what God has. If it's here, if I go home and I find out here in Solomon's porch, revival breaks out, then I'll be knocking at your door. Not to speak, but just to get what you have. I'm hungry for a fresh move of God, regardless of what it looks like and regardless of where it is. How hungry are you tonight for His presence? How do we have? I've sort of made light of it, and we are going to pray now, but having fun with it. But do we have people here tonight who will say, Lord, I want you to use me in my life? I'm going to issue a call in just a moment. And some of you, it may cost you everything. It may cost you everything. It might cost you a relationship. Now, I'm not saying that it will, but whatever it costs you, it will be worth it. Heidi Baker. How many of you know Heidi? Let me see your hands. Some of you know who Heidi and Roland are. Heidi went to Toronto. Randy was speaking. Had 3 churches. I may have already made reference to this. Randy prays for her. She's laying on the stage and Randy looks at her and says, Heidi, do you want the nation of Mozambique? She raises her hand. Yes. And he prophesies over her about God giving her the nation of Mozambique and them raising the dead and what God is going to do. And she is really, really wrecked. She can't even function, I think, for 7 days. They have to pick her up, put her in the wheelchair, take her to the bathroom. You know, I will be honest. Lord, let me at least be able to walk to the bathroom. I just don't think I want somebody picking me up, taking me to the bathroom. But they did that with her for 7 days. She went back, had the prophetic word. Here's what God's going to do. He's going to give her the nation of Mozambique. They go back and lose everything. And you'll find in the scripture there is the, like with Jesus, the sending of the dove, baptism, filling of the Holy Spirit, and then into the wilderness for a time of testing. But then he comes out, starts preaching the kingdom of God is here. So, initially, it may cost you everything, but then you may end up with 10,000 churches. When I heard about Heidi and Roland, I actually thought Randy was exaggerating. I thought he was exaggerating. And then it was 2001, we made our first trip there, my wife and I. And it kept in my heart, I kept hearing these words, just the half has not yet been told, because it was so much more than what I'd heard it was going to be. God will use you. He will use you. He's just looking for people who will say yes. Would you stand tonight? And, you know, after we do this, we will pray for those who have physical needs. But I really feel, didn't know I was going to do this until I got here tonight. But I feel like the Lord spoke to me to issue a call to challenge you. And that's what I want to do. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to do me a favor tonight. Please don't come down to make me feel good or just come down because it is an altar call. But I'm going to ask you in just a moment, don't come yet, but I'm going to ask you if you are willing to be that person that the Lord throws into the river. If you're willing to be that person, don't come yet. And you're willing to say, Lord, I will do whatever it takes to have your presence. I will do whatever it takes to be a part of that fresh move. I'm going, just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come. There may be a cost to it. It's okay. There may be things that happen that you don't understand. That's okay. There were things that happened in my church after we were touched by the Holy Spirit that just really bothered me. I mean, we'd go to Toronto, come back. I'd take a group, we'd come back, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, who are we going to lose on Sunday because of all the manifestations, the shaking and the falling? And one Sunday morning, I'm looking at all this stuff, and I said, Lord, I don't believe everything I'm seeing is of you. And the Lord told me very clearly, you're right, everything you see is not of me. But you be careful of plucking it up too quickly because you don't always know the difference. It wasn't easy for me. I didn't like the manifestations. I don't have time to go through the story, but I didn't like all that stuff. When God touches me, it's with tears off in the corner, just spending time with him. And all the other stuff, and shaking and all that stuff, I didn't like it. In fact, the Lord showed me a picture one time. I'm in Jesus' arms. Jesus is laughing. I'm kicking and screaming like a 3-year-old. I'm just having a temper tantrum. And Jesus is laughing. And there's this long dock out into the river. And Jesus is walking out to the end of the dock. I'm kicking and screaming. He's laughing. When he gets to the end, he throws me in. And he said, you came kicking and screaming, but I got you into the middle of the river. I don't regret it now. But I had trouble with some of the stuff. I'm going to pray and then offer an invitation to be that rock that he throws in to help create the way. And in your response to that, you're saying, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. So just close your eyes. Let him speak to you. This is not a response to Tom. It's a response to him. Lord, I am so very aware of your presence in this church tonight. Lord, there's just a powerful sense of your nearness. I'm so very aware. And on one hand, I'm just so excited about the possibilities. And on the other hand, I'm so thankful that you allowed me to be a part of what you're doing. Oh, so thankful that you picked me. And Lord, as I look at this group tonight, in this group could be another Heidi Baker. In this group could be another Roland Baker. In this group could be another Randy Clark, Bill Johnson, or Cheon, or a Sue, Lord. Another Benny Johnson. Lord, in this group. And for me, it's worth the price that I pay if there's just one. I told you that laying in the floor tonight. If there's only one that steps into the inheritance that's theirs, that responds to the call, then the whole trip is worth it. So, Father, I pray that you touch and you draw. You draw them, Lord, not in response to a good teaching, but in response to your call. Now, if you are willing to be one that the Lord throws into the middle of the river, you're willing to be one that says yes to him, very quickly, I'm going to give you 30 seconds just to come, and I'm going to pray for you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I already see the Lord touching some of you. I see his presence on you. In Jesus' name. Lord, these are saying yes to you, regardless of the cost. Come on in close. I want to just be able to bless all of you. Father, I bless what I see on her life right now. And Father, I pray those that are saying yes to you, release in their life greater anointing, greater power, greater giftedness, greater authority. I pray that they will heal the sick, that they will cleanse the leper, they will preach the good news to the poor, they will raise the dead. I bless them tonight, Lord. They say yes, not to me, not to an organization, not to a pastor, not to a ministry. They say yes to you. So, Lord, I bless them. I bless them. I pray, Father, more, more, more. Let it begin with them. Why not here? Why not now? Lord, why not use Hong Kong as the place for the next great awakening? Let it be Hong Kong where the next revival begins, the tsunami of the Spirit. Tsunami of the Spirit, Lord. Not just a ripple in the water, but Father, a wave that is so tall, so big, that it crashes across nations and engulfs nations, Lord. That, Father, even those who don't believe will be unable to defend against what you're doing. Lord, I pray for a wave that's so tall that it rushes inward, Lord. It goes from coast to coast. For Kenny, Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, for encounters, for visitations in the night. Visitations, Lord, angelic visitations. Lord, like the pastor in Australia, his wife wrote me and said he would wake up in the... He would wake her up. He would be praying, speaking in tongues, and he would be doing it in his sleep. Lord, I pray, like with Bill Johnson, just shaking in the bed in the night. In Jesus' name, Lord. touch these hands. Team, feel free to, if you want to pray for some people for the next 2 minutes, go ahead and pray for them. Just make sure that you're very careful. Father, in Jesus' name, fill these hands. Breathe on them, Lord. From the top of her head, Lord, to the soles of her feet, I pray for a release of your anointing. Lord, I see a sheen about her. I see a glow about her, Lord. I see your presence on her. I bless the desires of her heart. She is one you can trust with more. She's saying yes to you, Lord. More, more, more in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you mark his life. Circle this day in the calendar of their lives, Lord. Circle today, that from this day forward, they will be able to point back and say, it happened there. It happened there. Feel these hands in Jesus' name. More, more, more. Lord, we press in tonight. We press in for more, 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 more. Lord, our heart cries out for you. We're not hungry in the natural, but we're hungry after you. We're passionate after you. We want more, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, breathe, breathe on them, breathe on them, breathe on them, breathe on them. More, more, more. Father, I pray for a transference of your anointing, an impartation that takes place, Lord. I pray, Lord, do in lives tonight what you did in mine in Brazil. When I encountered you, Lord, in a way that was way outside of my comfort zone. Lord, I encountered you in a way that really rocked my world. I pray for divine encounters, Lord. More, Lord. Father, I break off tonight anything that would keep this group from walking into the inheritance that really belongs to them. I break off, Lord. I break any ties. I break any hindrances, Father. I ask that tonight you would begin to expose the strategies of the enemy, because he has already begun to put into play strategies that will cause them to lose their focus. But I prophesy over them tonight, they will stay focused, they will walk the path, Lord, that your anointing will be on their feet, that when they come to the place, there is a fork in the road, their feet, even though their mind may be saying go one way, their feet will automatically, instinctively follow the right path. Lord, they won't have a rational reason for why they're going this way, but just under your leading, they will find themselves walking the right path. Lord, when they come to the fork in the road, that the right decision will be made. They are saying yes to you. You always respond. You always respond. You always respond to those who say yes. Woo! Lord, I pray that those who have come forward will experience your glory. Open their eyes. I pray, Lord, that tonight there will be people whose eyes are open. They're able to see into the Spirit. They will see the angelic presences, Lord, that are in the room. Father, they will begin to be caught up into heaven. Not in the area of the imagination, but Lord, they in their hearts, their spirits. Not something they work up, but Lord, a true encounter with you. I bless them. Lord, I have great hope of what you're going to do. More, Lord, more. Wow, 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 wow. Yeah, just spend another moment just crying out to him. This is between you and Jesus. Spend another moment just pressing in. And so, Lord, tonight, in an apostolic manner, Lord, I release them to take possession of the land that's before them. I pray, Lord, again, an anointing on their feet. that wherever their feet walks, you will give them that land. In their communities, in their neighborhoods, in their schools, at work, Lord, you will give them that land. I release it over them. Lord, I give them permission to walk in the realm of the supernatural, to heal the sick. Lord, I believe you're releasing and stirring up through the laying on of hands tonight. Through your presence, there's a stirring up of spiritual gifts in those that are here. Lord, just stir up the gifts. Stir up the gifts. I pray, Lord, there will be words of knowledge. They will begin to be proficient in the words of knowledge. And there will be fruitfulness, Lord, in supernatural activity. Healings, deliverance, Lord. They may have already seen certain things happen, but I'm asking for a dramatic increase as there was in my life, Lord. Yes, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We press into you. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh. If you're able, could I just invite you to lift your hands and love him just for a moment. Lord, we love you. We exalt and magnify your name, Lord. We rest, we rest, we rest in your presence. Lord, I pray. I thank you for everything you have done in this church. Lord, I know it's a place of presence. I sense your presence. But Lord, I pray that now they'll be launched into a new level, a new level, a new level. Lord, I just pray for promotions to take place in the Spirit. Lord, thank you for Kenny's heart, his desire for you. And Lord, I pray that it took an encounter. For me, it took an encounter with you, Lord, that was way outside of my comfort zone. I pray, do that for Kenny, Lord. I pray that there's an experience he has in the very near future that he looks and says, what was that? Oh, Lord. It's such an encounter that it brings a holy fear, Lord. So I ask, here, Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, more, more. I begin to release healing in the room. I pray for healing, Lord, as we transition. I pray, Lord, for people who are having intestinal issues. The Lord gave me a word of knowledge earlier, and I just need to release it. So that you'll reach out and take it. If you have intestinal issues, I think the Lord said, I'm not sure about this, but I think they said there was someone who had surgery and it hadn't corrected the issues of the intestines. So, Lord, I pray. And then for healing in the right ankle, there was an ankle issue, pain in the right, right below the ankle bone, almost in the heel. Lord, I command the pain to go in the authority of the name of Jesus. For indigestion, and there's a tightness right here, I declare healing for indigestion. And it's right in this area. And then kidney issues, I think it was the kidney because there's pain. Someone who has pain right here, Lord, I bless the kidney. I bless the left side in the back. And Lord, for headaches, migraines that come above the right eye, in the name of Jesus. And then for someone who has a problem with their hand and it's in here. So Lord, I just speak healing to each of those tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to us through words of knowledge and prophecy because it creates faith in us, Lord. My faith tonight is not in my ability to say the right thing, pray the right prayer. My faith is simply in you. So I bless you. I bless you, Lord. I bless what you're doing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. going to turn the service back over to Kenny. And at the end, our team, global team, go ahead and make your way to the front if you would. The team will, through the laying on of hands, if you have a need tonight, they will pray for you. It could be healing. It could be whatever. It doesn't matter. We don't want to keep you longer than necessary. But they will be willing to pray for you. And, I mean, we've had all kinds of things happen already this week. We had two nights ago someone with a tumor on their thyroid. It disappeared. And other issues. 2 weeks ago in Bethel, saw a woman, and I don't think I shared it here, but a woman with her foot like this. And God was touching her. Nobody was praying for her. Nobody had hands laid on her. But it was during the, we were doing a corporate prayer, and she's just crying and shaking, and we've pulled her up to find out what happened. And there's a photograph on her phone with her foot like that. And then she holds up both of her feet, and they're like this. Her pain was like a, on a scale of 1 to 10, she said 11. And all pain disappeared, and her foot went from here to here. There was another girl with a plate on her arm like this. I mean, they were freaked out about this. And her and the plate just sunk back in. Her arm was normal on the outside. The Lord is still working miracles today, healing today, and He'll do it for you. Thank you, Kenny.